Session number 10422, Rule 1.
Lieutenant Colonel M.R. Ferrins, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Colonel Ferrins?
I was born in Bishop Auckland, 1912, and lived there most of my life.
Can you describe the Bishop Auckland area?
Well, it's a market town. It was the headquarters of the 6th Battalion, Durham Light Infantry. And I went to school locally to start with until I was 8 years old. Then I went away to a prep school at Aysgarth Prep School. And from there I went to Sedba School, where I went into the OTC. I went to 2 OTC camps. Didn't do very well at school. Got my school certificate eventually. And from there, I went to Hull and started my business career with Reckitt and Sons Limited, the blue manufacturers, where I spent about 5 years. And then I came home and joined the family business, which was flour millers, and stayed there until the outbreak of war.
Can I ask you what your father's profession was?
He was a flour miller. The whole family were flour millers. The firm had been established in 1825, so it was an old family business, small country flour millers.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had 3 sisters. One elder than me, one older than me, and 2 younger.
Was it a strict upbringing?
Oh, yes. My father was a Methodist, Wesleyan, and I was brought up in the Wesleyan Church. Although I was confirmed into the Church of England when I was at school at Aysgarth.
Can we talk for a few moments about the OTC? Which school were you at when?
Sedba School had an OTC.
And what age were you?
I joined when I got there, aged about 14, and stayed in it and thoroughly enjoyed it. I went to 2 OTC camps, one at Tidworth and one at Strensel, and enjoyed them very much, a week's camp.
Were they attached to a regiment?
I think the OTC at Sedba was attached to the Border Regiment. That I wouldn't be certain of. It certainly is now. They don't call it OTC now, they call it something else, Cadet Corps or something. But it's attached to the Border Regiment.
Did you have a choice when you went to school as to whether or not you did join the OTC, or was it expected of you?
It was expected of you.
And the instructors, where did they come from?
Masters. There was a Sergeant Major, a wonderful old chap called Stoker, Sergeant Major Stoker. And then the commanding officer when I went there was somebody called Major Wilkins, who was a schoolmaster. And the other officers were schoolmasters as well.
And you went to 2 camps, you're saying?
Yes.
Where were these, can you remember?
Tidworth and Strensel.
And for how long?
A week. Week's camp.
Can you remember the kind of training and activities
you
got
up to? Oh, we used to have a night exercise. I remember that. We used to have one night exercise. We used to have field days in the OTC, and we fired blanks. That was a great thrill.
Marching and drill?
Oh, yes, lots of that. A band, there was a band, a school band.
What weapons did you use?
Shortly Enfield, 303. Can't remember that we had any machine guns. I don't think we did. I think they were just rifles.
It would appear that a rifle like that might have been heavy for some 14-year-olds.
It was a bit when you were small. But I was always big. I was always big. I had no trouble that way.
And you enjoyed the discipline of this?
Very much, yes. We used to have one parade a week. One afternoon parade a week. When you dressed up in your uniform. You had to keep your buttons clean.
What uniform were you given?
It was the old tunic and trousers. I don't think we had putties. I can't remember putties.
Were you given them, or did you have to purchase them?
No, they were given. They had to be handed in when you finished.
You weren't in Boy Scouts or Church Lads
Brigade? No, I was never in the Boy Scouts or the Church Lads Brigade.
Can we come up to the time that you joined the Territorials? What made you join?
Well, I came back to the family business in 1935. And I found that many of my friends, local boys, local young men, had joined the 6th Battalion, Durham Light Infantry, which the battalion headquarters were in Bishop Auckland. I finished up in the OTC as a sergeant. I enjoyed the military life. And one of my best friends suggested one night that I should join the Territorial Army, which seemed a natural thing to do. And I joined in May 1936, when I was commissioned, because I'd already gained my Certificate A in the OTC, which entitled me to a commission in the Territorial Army. So I joined in May 1936 as a second lieutenant, 10 bob a day.
How did your parents feel about this?
Oh, they were very interested, yes.
Very supportive.
Yeah.
Can you recall your very early days? What initial training did you have to undertake as an officer?
Not a great deal. I can't remember. We used to have... My first camp was at Musk, near Redcar, in the summer of 1936. When I joined, I was sent to C Company, which was commanded by Captain Watson, and I was the only subaltern in the company. We were short of officers. And the first camp I went to was at Musk, near Redcar. And my family doctor, I remember, was the regimental medical officer, Wardle. I think he was a major in those days. And we were in tents, and there was a downpour one night, and the camp got flooded, and some of the tents had to be moved out onto the sand dunes at Musk. And I remember I was orderly officer. It was a fortnight's camp. I was an orderly officer on the middle Sunday, which was Family's Day. And I'd been told by some senior officer that I had to make very certain that when I went round the lines at night that no civilians had been left in the camp. They all had to be out by a certain time. And the orderly sergeant came with me, and we went round the lines, and we got to the boys' tent. There were boys in the band, buglers, I think they were. And I remember very well looking into this tent, a bell tent, and there were two or three boys there, half-dressed, and a great pile of blankets at the back of the tent. And I said to them, "Are there any civilians left?" "No, sir." I said, "Move that pile of blankets." And they did, and there were two girls underneath this blankets, half dressed. The boys were only about 17, 18, I suppose. So I got the boys out of the tent, made the girls dressed, and then they were marched out of the camp. I remember that very well. But we did exercises. We had each battalion, there were three battalions, the brigade, it was a brigade camp. We did exercises, we had night exercises, and there were regular officers attached to each battalion. I remember very well our regular officer was Lieutenant May, a famous officer in the Durham Light Infantry, who finished up the war as a brigadier. He's still alive, and he's always been known as Crackers May. I remember him very well, and admire him very much.
What uniform and equipment did you have? Did you have to, again, get it yourself?
You had to buy your own uniform when you joined the Territorial Army. You were given a small grant. You bought your khaki uniform, a tunic, and plus fours we wore in those days. And then you bought your mess kit. Well, patrols, really. We didn't have mess kit as such. We bought patrols, green patrols. The 6th Battalion, of course, was a rifle battalion and had black buttons. And we dressed for dinner in our patrols each night in camp.
Did you have any equipment that...
Sword.
And did you have to purchase the sword?
Yes, you had to purchase the sword. Usually you were able to get one second-hand, Moss Bros or someone like that.
C Company, on which township was it based?
C Company was based at Crook. Can't tell you where the drill hall was. I could go to it. Sergeant Major Page was the company sergeant major. They were a good lot of men.
Can you tell the... What background did they have?
Miners, mainly. Coal miners. In the majority.
Was there a strong family element in this? That sons coming into the battalion as fathers had been in from the past?
Yes, there was, a certain amount. I can remember there was a father and son, Makepeace. Sergeant Makepeace's son was also in the company. I think there was a certain amount of family tradition.
At Drill Hall, how often did the company meet?
We were supposed to do one drill a week, one night a week. But there were toots at weekends. And then, of course, the annual camp. You had to do, if my memory serves me right, you had to do 20 drill nights to qualify for your bounty, as it was known. You got a bounty if you'd done your 20 drills and attended camp. Of course, you didn't get paid for your territorial drills during the year. You only got paid at camp. And your bounty, if you'd done your required number of drills, was paid at camp. I can't remember what it was. I don't think it paid my mess bill. Might have been £10, the bounty. I can't remember.
What kind of training went on in a drill hall? What are drill nights, really?
Well, it was, I think we had Bren guns, and a lot of the time was taking the guns to bits and putting them together again. Good deal of drill, map reading, very simple training, really.
Was the drill at the light infantry pace?
Oh, yes, all of it. Rifle drill, too. We never sloped arms, we trailed arms.
Did you do any gas precaution drill? looking to gas?
Not in 1936, I don't think. I can't remember it. I think we got gas masks in about 1938. And then there was gas drill.
Keeping the men fit, as you say, they were coal miners, so they would be reasonably strong little men. Route marches, was that a common...
Not an awful lot. I can't remember going on a lot of route marches. Most of our training took place in the drill hall, which is in the middle of the town of Crook, so there wasn't any fields that we could go and work in, really.
What was the discipline like? Did you have disciplinary problems with, of any...
Not in peacetime. I can't remember any bad cases of discipline being required. A friendly unit.
Sport? Was that important?
There was a regimental football team. I can't remember a company team. That was about the only sport that took place.
To take up the camps that you'd mentioned, Colonel, the training would be increased at a camp.
Oh yes.
Was it tactical?
As I said earlier, it was a brigade camp. There were always three battalions. And we had a lot of schemes. Not a lot of ceremonial, a church parade on the Sundays. But not a lot of... Of course, when I joined, I should tell you this, the officers were mounted. And because I've always had a lot to do with horses, I was made transport officer. And I had to see that the horses were there for the company commanders and the CO and the adjutant and so on. They were all rented horses. Contractors supplied the horses. And it was really rather amusing because a lot of the officers couldn't ride. And they were scared stiff. And I had to try to marry up a quiet, gentle animal with an officer that couldn't, never learnt to ride. Most of them could ride. But I remember one officer was always scared. He was a company commander. He was always scared stiff of getting on his horse.
What constituted the organisation of a company in the Territorial Army at this time?
Company commander? Well, in my case, as I say, I was the only subaltern in C Company, but the normal thing would be company commander, second in command, and three platoon commanders. The company sergeant major was a regular. He was known as a PSI, permanent staff instructor. But he was a regular soldier. When I joined, we weren't at full strength. So the platoons might have had 20 men in them, something like that.
Did you have kit inspections on drill nights?
Yes, they had to maintain, because they maintained their kit at home. They came to the drill hall in military uniform. But there were no buttons to polish because we were black buttons.
And it would be the officer's responsibility to see that his...
Oh, they were inspected, they were paraded, eat before, whatever we did on the drill nights, they were paraded and inspected. Oh yes, they were.
Looking back on your years before the war in the Territorial Army, do you feel that the training helped when the war came? Was it relevant?
In some respects, yes. Most people could read an ordnance survey map. Section drill was fairly good. No idea at all about staff work. That was far beyond junior territorial officer. when we were mobilised, 1939, we rather thought we were a pretty good unit. But we didn't know very much.
What other experiences have you of pre-war territorial life, Colonel?
Well, I was very lucky in 1938. I'd been by then put in command of the carrier platoon, which was something very new for the Territorial Army. We got, I think it was three carriers. The annual camp that year was at Shilbottle in Northumberland. And I was very fortunate in that the colonel put me down for a Territorial Army officer's course at Sandhurst. So instead of going to the annual camp, I went to Sandhurst for a fortnight's Territorial Army officer's course, which was a wonderful experience. We lived in the college. The permanent staff were still there. I think I'm right in saying that Regimental Sergeant Major Britton was still there, the famous RSM Britton. And we did a concentrated course. The instructors were still there, all regular army officers. We had early morning parade, square bashing, divided into companies. And we had demonstrations by regular army units. We had lectures, map reading exercises. And I think I learnt more in that fortnight at camp about the army and my job as an officer in the army than I had in the three previous years as a Territorial Army officer. That I remember very well.
Equipment, were there problems with equipment? Were you happy with the equipment at the...
Can't remember much about the equipment. Can't remember if we even had rifles. I don't think we did. It was just drill. Early morning. I remember I was able to ride. There were some horses there. And there was a very good cross-country course, which I enjoyed. That was voluntary. If you wanted to, you could. We were well fed, comfortably accommodated. I can't tell you how many officers were there. There were a lot from all sorts of regiments all over the country. But it was a most interesting fortnight.
Was there a feeling at this time that war was coming close?
I think in 1938 we all began to think a little that way.
Did it show itself in other ways?
Yes, it did, because in 1938 we put on a very big recruiting campaign. We were instructed, the battalion was instructed to double its strength. And as carrier platoon commander, I used to go off two and three nights a week with a carrier to various villages on a recruiting campaign. The carriers were something new. We all thought of them, of course, in those days as tanks. And it was a great thrill to go and drive through these villages and have a recruiting campaign. And I think I'm right in saying by the middle of 1939, the 6th Battalion had doubled its strength. I can't remember when the duplicate battalion was formed. It was certainly formed before war was declared. So it would be the summer of 1939 when the duplicate battalion was formed. I think it was 13th Battalion. I'm not absolutely sure of that.
War's coming. Can you recall the moment when war was declared and what you were doing at that time?
It was a Sunday. It was a Sunday. I can't remember whether we'd been mobilised on the Saturday. I know I went to church and I went home. I wasn't married. I went home and we listened to news on the wireless when Neville Chamberlain gave the declaration of war.
What were your feelings at that time?
Excitement, I think.
Was that the
we'd been anticipating it, you see, all that summer we'd been anticipating it, and finally it had come.
Was that a general feeling around you?
No, I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so.
What did this mean to you, the declaration of war, mobilisation?
Well, the culmination of 3 or 4 years' training, all going to be put into practice.
And how did you get to know of mobilisation?
I can't remember whether it was a telephone call from the adjutant or whether we got a written notice. But I went down to the drill hall on the Sunday afternoon in mufti and was told that we had to appear, I think, on the Monday in uniform, mobilised. The carrier platoon was part of headquarter company, but it was attached to C Company in Crook. And on mobilisation, the carrier platoon returned to headquarter company, which was based in Bishop Auckland. And my platoon members were billeted in a public hall in Bishop Auckland. I, of course, continued to live at home. But there was a drill program was arranged, and I had to take my platoon onto the Bishop Auckland football ground every morning. I think it would be about 7:30, when we had to do PT. I can't remember the feeding arrangements, because I say I lived at home. But the men lived and slept in this public hall in Bishop Auckland. Where the remainder of the battalion were billeted, I can't tell you, because I wasn't involved.
Had you and your fellow officers and men had any notion about how long the war might last?
No, none whatever.
Not like the First World War, where it was expected to be over by Christmas. Yes, yes. Did anything else happen at this time, Colonel?
There was indeed. I'd become engaged to be married during the summer of 39, and normally would have got married early in 1940.